Well, we're working our way through the book of James, if you're visiting with us this morning, and we're looking at two passages in James. One of the things that seems to happen in the book of James is that it's a little bit chiastic, which means it's you have these points that James wants to make, say point 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then when he sort of gets halfway through his letter, he then goes point 4, 3, 2, and 1, if you can understand it like that. So that's why we've got two readings, one from the start of the book of James, one from the end of the book of James. And they're very similar. They're picking up the same ideas. And it's very appropriate for us to be looking at these passages today, especially not only being Grandparents' Day, but a day in which we've been celebrating Emma's baptism. I wanted to say we've prayed a lot for Emma and her baptism. I've prayed particularly at different times throughout the week. I don't know how to say this diplomatically, so I'm just going to come out flat out and say it. I have not prayed, though, for Emma to be a nice person. Not one time during the week did I pray for Emma to be a nice person. Now, please don't get me wrong. You may have now suddenly have a different opinion of me, but please don't get me wrong. I didn't pray that she would become a horrible person. No, rather, my prayers have been that she will come to know the Lord Jesus and honour him. You see, today's passage helps us to understand this whole idea of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. When you first look at this passage, particularly the one in James chapter 1, it would seem almost normal to think, well, what it means to be a Christian is to be a nice, upright, good and pleasant citizen. For instance, have a look at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That sounds good, doesn't it? How about verse 21? Get rid of all moral filth and evil. Sounds good. Verse 26, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Sounds good. Verse 27, look after orphans and widows. That is, look after those who are in need. And then when you get to chapter 4, it's the same idea, but it's in the negative sense. James in verse 1 of chapter 4 talks about why there are fights and quarrels amongst them. He says in verse 2 that they covet and kill and quarrel and fight. In verse 3, he says they ask with the wrong motives, only for their own pleasure. And in verse 11, he says, do not slander or judge one another. Now, if you take all those verses, all those ideas in isolation and put them together, basically you can hear James saying, what we need to do is to be people who listen, slow to speak, don't become angry, get rid of moral filth and evil, don't quarrel, keep a tight rein on your tongue, be a nice person, is how you can understand James if you read it like that. Just get along with each other. And I actually think it's that understanding which has slipped into what I call folk religion. Now, what I mean by folk religion is this. Folk religion is when something is held to be true by the greater amount of people in society, even though it's not true. Okay, so society might think that something is true even though it's not, but it seems to be true to them. And the example? Christians are nice people. To be a Christian means to be a nice person. In order to be a Christian, be a nice person. That's folk religion. I see it all the time. I run into people who say, oh, I can't believe you do that. I thought you were a Christian. And the idea that, oh, if I want to be a Christian, I'm a Christian because I'm a good person. I haven't hurt anybody, haven't killed anybody, haven't dropped any nuclear weapons lately or anything like that. And you know what? That was me. That was me a few years ago now. I totally believed that. When I was a teenager and also then a young adult, I was going to youth group and going along to church. I desperately wanted to please God. I wanted to be a Christian, and I desperately wanted to please God. I knew that God was there. I had this understanding that God was there. I had an understanding that he loved me, and I wanted to be a Christian. And so I thought that what I needed to do was to be a good person. I soon found out that wasn't as easy as I first planned. See, the problem is, I'm never going to be a good person all the time, am I? And that's where this time frame issue comes in. For instance, if being a Christian means being a good person, or being a good person makes you a Christian, if this week, say I'm particularly good, I'm a Christian, right? If you go along that sense. Next week, next week's not a good week. Didn't get much sleep. Got a bit angry. Got a bit short with a few people. Said a few things I shouldn't have said. So I'm not a Christian now, am I? See how it falls down? This idea that to be a Christian means to be a good person, that's not true. And the reason why I can see it's not true is because even here in James, I can see that it's not about being good, it's actually about a complete status update. And for those of you who are Facebook fans, you'll know what I'm talking about. But for the rest of us, we'll just have to pretend we do. There needs to be a status change in order to be a Christian. You see, in verse 19, what does James say? My dear brothers and sisters. And then in chapter 4, in verse 11, he says the same thing. My dear brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. Are they his actual brothers and sisters? No. So what are they? They're his brothers and sisters in Christ. Basically, they are Christians, he is a Christian, and therefore they are related to each other in Christ. Their status is that of a Christian. James's status is that of a Christian, and so therefore they are brothers and sisters in Christ. It's regardless of their behaviour. In fact, it has nothing to do with their behaviour. It has nothing to do with where they live. And so, friends, if you are a follower of Jesus here today, you are my brother or sister in Christ, and vice versa, whether you like it or not. Because that is our status. It has nothing to do with our behaviour. It is our status. So how do you change your status? That's the $64,000 question. How do you change your status from being, say, a non-Christian to a Christian to a follower of Jesus? Well, James gives us tips. He gives us hints in chapter 4. Notice what he says in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. A Christian is one who comes to God on God's terms. Who comes to God on God's terms. I was trying to come to God on my own terms until I worked out that I was in the wrong. In a nutshell, a Christian is one who recognises who God is. And I actually had that bit down pat when I was a young teenager. I recognised that God was the Lord God Almighty. He was the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. I had that bit right. So a Christian, the first step is to recognise who God is. The second step is to then recognise who you are. I wasn't that good on this second step. See, we need to recognise that all good things come to us from God. That we are created by God. All that we have is from God. All that we continue to have is from God. He gives us our very breath. And what we have done is basically we have taken all that from God, life as it were, from God and said, thank you very much, we will take it from here. You can now step aside. And for some people, it's rejecting God at worst, ignoring him at best. And that was me. I was the ignoring bit. I never came out, as it were, flat out and said God doesn't exist and I reject him completely. No, I sort of just ignored God until I really needed God, which was when I was in trouble. And there's an old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. When you are in trouble, isn't that when we so often cry out to God? And I was like that. I ignored God until I needed God. In fact, and I had a friend describe it once like this, that he had this great relationship with God. He didn't bother God, God didn't bother him. Unfortunately, God didn't keep that relationship going that way, and God did bother him until eventually he gave his life to Christ too, which is the third step. So you've got to understand who God is, understand who we are, but then ultimately understand that that rift between us and God, where we have taken basically all that God has said, given us, and then told him to butt out, that rift is dealt with by God. That's where Jesus comes into the picture. See, Jesus steps into that rift. Jesus steps into that break. That's what the cross is all about. You know, as Christians, we go on and on about the cross. There's a reason why we go on and on about the cross. It's because Jesus is in that middle. He is the one who comes and pays the price that was ours for the rebellion that was ours. On the cross, he takes our place. On the cross, he is shunned by his Father in heaven because our sin is upon his shoulders. So when I then come to Jesus and say to him, thank you, and give my life to following him for all that he has done, then my status changes to follower of Christ. When I was basically around about year 11, year 12, I finally got it. It took a while. I was a bit slow. I finally got it, that it was not about how good I am, but it was rather about who Jesus is and what he did for me on the cross. And I surrendered to that. And the analogy I like to use, and you've probably heard this before, but it works for me because I'm sort of a bit of a picture person, is because at that point I took the crown that was on my own head. You see, I had a crown on my head where I said, hey, it's my life, I'll live it the way I please. And I suddenly realised that actually that crown didn't belong on my head. And I took it off and gave it back to the one whose head it belongs on, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. And I gave my life to Christ that day. And that day, my life, my status changed. That day, my status changed. If Facebook had been around in those days, I might have been able to post it. Would have been interesting to see how many likes I would have got. Which brings me back to Emma. I haven't been praying for Emma to be a nice person, but rather to come and understand who Jesus is and what he has done for her, and that she too one day will hand a crown back to Jesus. That's my prayer. My prayer is that the promises that were made on her behalf by her parents and godparents, that promise of I turn to Christ, will be the promise that she makes one day, I turn to Christ. That's all well and good. Does that mean then, if I have given my life to Christ, I can live any way I so choose? May it never be. And in fact, that's what James is going on about in this passage. You see, James is talking to people who are Christians, and then he's saying that you need to then live as Christians. So if you are here today, as a follower of Jesus, then this passage is saying to you, if you claim to be a Christian, live like one. Have a look what James says in chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, before I became a Christian, I took that to mean that I needed to do what the Bible said in order to become a Christian. That is, to be a good person. But you can see how I got that wrong. But when I then became a Christian, I suddenly realised that what James is saying is, you claim to follow Christ? Live like that. Don't just claim to be a Christian, live like one. That's why it's faith plus action. You can't have one without the other. It's a lot like getting the cart before the horse. When I was young, I was getting the cart before the horse. I was trying to do the action stuff in order to be right with God. It took me a while, but I understood that I needed faith in Christ. That's the horse part. And if you can follow the analogy through, if you, like me, have the horse part down pat, that is faith in Christ, allegiance to Him, status update, then the cart has to be added to that. That's the action part. That's why he can say, if you're a follower of Jesus, why are there still quarrels amongst you? If you're a follower of Jesus, why do you continue to slander? If you're a follower of Jesus, do you keep a tight rein in your tongue? If you're a follower of Jesus, just why do you get so angry? Be slow to speak, quick to listen. It's faith plus action. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to actually be getting that cart attached to the horse. We need to get that second part right. If we claim to be a follower of Jesus, is there evidence of that? When I look at your life and when you look at my life, do you see it? My status has changed. My life has to change too. I've been forgiven by God. I now need to honour Him in all that I do. Christians are not perfect. We know that. But each day we mimic and imitate and become more like the one that we claim to follow. I actually think this passage from James has something for all of us, depending on where we're at. In a room such as this, with a number of people such as this, there will be people in different positions. If you're with us this morning, and if you can use the analogy, you're lacking the horse part, that is the faith in Christ, then my prayer is that you'll continue to seek the horse. Continue to seek Christ. Because he promises that when you seek, you will find. And my prayer for Emma is that she will continue to seek Christ. And I'll be giving a hard time to her parents and godparents to make sure that they keep up their part of the promises. But if we're here today and we've got the horse part down pat, my question is, have we got the cart attached to it? Are we living out all that we claim to believe in? Are we living more like Jesus each day to the pleasure of the Father? That's my second prayer for Emma, that she will live that life for His glory alone. Let me pray for us. Gracious Lord, we thank You that You are a God of mercy and of grace, and that You have given us mercy and grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that You would help us to understand that it's not about what we do, who we are, that our status changes when we recognise who You are and what You have done. And that we would so honour You by handing back that crown daily. And Father, I pray that we would then put into action that which we claim to believe. Lord, please don't let us just listen to Your word, but Lord, empower us, encourage us, burden us even to do what it says. As brothers and sisters in Christ, may we honour each other and You in all we do and say and think. And this we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.